Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 258. 258.
Thank you.
Number 236. Number 326. 326.
More of His love. John chapter 9. John's Gospel chapter 9. Of course, this is the whole chapter's dedicated to Christ opening this man that was born blind, open his eyes. Now there were men that went blind that he opened their eyes, but this is the first time a man that was born blind that Christ opened his eyes. Starting at verse 14, and I'm going to bring my subject out of verse 31, but I'm going to work my way there. And here's the first thing I want you to notice now, who it is that's speaking. Who it is that's doing the speaking. And you got to deal with it in the context it's in and why they said what they said. And it was the Sabbath day, verse 14, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what have you got to say about this? That he hath opened thine eyes. What have you got to say about this man? He said, well, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They didn't believe he'd ever been blind. God had done this incredible miracle. Man is born blind. God opened his eyes. And because he'd done it on Sabbath days, these folks were so religious, so legalist, so committed to their false conception of God. They did not believe that this man had ever even been blind. Didn't even believe he'd ever been blind. And didn't believe he received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they said, well, we're going to have somebody to corroborate this that happened. Somebody's going to have to tell us and prove to us what's going on here. And they asked his parents, they said, now, they asked them, saying, is this your son? That's the first thing they said. Is this your son right here? Is this your son? Who was born blind? And how then do he now see? They asked three questions. Is this your son? Was he born blind? And how in the world did he get to receive his sight? These fellows are really... His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We do know that this is our son. And we also know that he was born blind. But now watch what they do. They hedge right here. They start hedging. You know, by what means he now seeth, we don't have any idea. We just don't know. We just don't know. And we don't know who hath opened his eyes. We don't know that. He's old enough to answer for himself. Ask him. He can talk for himself. He can speak for himself. These words spake his parents, and listen to this. Because they feared the Jews. They feared the Jews. They had a man-fearing spirit. They feared man more than they feared God. They feared these men more than they loved their son. They feared these men more than they loved the Lord Jesus Christ and was grateful that he had done something for their son's eyes. They feared the Jews. For the Jews had already had a meeting and decided that if any man did confess that he was Christ, got to put him out, got to exclude him, got to discipline him, got to put him out of the church, got to put him out. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again, they called the man was blind. I mean, these fellows got a little powwow going here. And said unto him, give God the praise. That's a good thing to do. We do. We praise God. We glorify God. And we know that this man is a sinner. Calling Christ a sinner. Calling Christ a sinner. And this may be where John Newton got his first idea of amazing grace right here out of this verse. He answered and said, whether he be sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That may have been where John Newton got his thought for amazing grace, right there. Can never tell. Then said they to him, what did he, how he opened thy eyes? Two questions again. He answered them, I told you already. I told you. I told you. And you didn't listen. You wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't hear what I got to say. Why would you want to hear it again? Were you going to be his disciples? That's what he asked him. You going to be his disciples? Oh, man, that upset them. That upset them to no end. They reviled him. Ridiculed him. Go be his disciples? No way. You be his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. And listen to this. As for this fella, we know not from whence he is. We don't know where he come from. The man answered, said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. Something to be absolutely marveled at. That you don't know where he's from, where's he come from, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now this is what I'm going to deal with tonight. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, let him will he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man that opened my eyes were not of God, he could not do anything. They answered and said unto him, you is altogether born in sins, and you gonna teach us? They cast him out. Now here's a verse of scripture, verse 31, that we know that now we know that God heareth not sinners. This is true, and it's not true. Most of us at one time or another, when we was unconverted, when we was lost, when we were out in the world, most one time or another, we all prayed when we were lost. And we called on what God, who we thought was God, and we really believed that He answered our prayers. Really believed that He heard them and answered them. Well, here's this man born blind, and he says, we know that God heareth not sinners. And that's what the Pharisees said, God heareth not sinners. Never rest the Scriptures. Never. Deal with them where they're at in the context they're in. And a man can rest the Scriptures. I read it tonight out of 2 Peter back in the study where he says, Peter says, our brother Paul writes some things that's hard to be understood. Hard to be understood. And many unlearned and ignorant men rest the Scriptures. Rest the Scriptures to their own damnation. And here's what he's talking about. Just like he said, you know, Jacob he loved and Esau he hated. The first thing they said was, and they rested the Scriptures. That's unrighteousness with God. That's not right with God. Paul said, who art thou, old man, that would reply against God? That's the only answer he'd give him. Only answer he'd give him. And then people can use, you know, if a fellow wants to be a drunk, he can use the Scriptures to be one. He says, not what goes into a man's mouth, it's what comes out. So, you know, he can use that. He can use the thing that Christ was a wine bibber. So listen, I can drink wine. I can have a big time. And you can have two or three wives if you listen to the Old Testament, because those fellows had concubines and two or three, four wives. So that gives you, you know, you can take the Scriptures and prove anything you want to prove. You can prove that there is no God by just saying there is no God. That's what the Bible says, said there is no God. And you know you can go over there where God says He has forsaken His people Israel. You could use that verse of Scripture and say God has forsaken His people. The Lord Jesus Christ is a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. And the Pharisees were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was a sinner. Ain't that what they said in verse 24? Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You know why they said he was a sinner? Because he'd done something for a man on the Sabbath day. And he'd done that often just to make those fellas mad and to prove to them. And they rested the Scriptures to their own damnation. And then, you know, and that's what they said in verse 16, that this man's not of God. He cannot be of God. How can a man, unless they have this division? And their blind man turned this argument on themselves. And he said in verse 25, and he said, whether he's a sinner, no, I don't know. That's got nothing to do with it. I just know this one thing. I was blind, and now I see. That's just the way it is. And this man done this for me. Done this for me. And then if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Could do nothing. And they know it's a good argument against them. But then remember, this is the saying of man, not the Lord Jesus Christ talking. It's not Christ talking at all. And it's either true or false. And it depends on the way you look at it. And let's look at it in that it's not true in some ways. We couldn't say absolutely that God heareth not sinners. You know why? Because if He didn't hear sinners, He wouldn't hear a person in this building. Is that not right? If He didn't hear sinners, He wouldn't hear anybody in here. But we called on Him, He wouldn't hear a soul. If He didn't hear sinners. Huh? If He couldn't say absolutely, God hears us. But God does hear men to sin. If He didn't, He would never hear anyone. Ecclesiastes says this, there's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so if it wasn't so, and God does sometimes hear and answer unregenerate men. And why He does that is truly does that is to make them know that I'm God. He did Pharaoh that way. Pharaoh was an unregenerate man. And at different times He said, I've sinned. Would you ask God to forget? I've sinned. And then He'd say, please go to God and stop this. Stop this. And then God done that to make him know one thing, that I'm the one in control. I'm the one that's got the power. I'm the one that's in control. And the second reason He'll hear sometimes an unconverted man or unregenerate man to hear is to manifest His great, great compassion. He that hears the raven's cry, sometimes He'll hear an unconverted man and answer him. And thirdly, He'll do it oftentimes to lead them to repentance. He'll answer them and bring them down to cause them and bring them to repentance. To bring them, cause them to repent. And oftentimes He'll hear an unregenerate man as they call on Him to punish them. The Jews, talking about the Jews, when they come out in the wilderness, they was mad at God all the time. They murmured against God over and over and over and over and over. And they say, loathe this ripe bread. Say, we ain't got no meat. So God starts sending them quails. Starts sending them quails. They asked for meat. He sent them quails. And then there was a... Israel wanted a king. They prayed for a king. We said, well, we want a king. So God gave them a king. In His anger. And I know God graciously hears sinners when they cry for mercy. Oh, He graciously hears sinners when they cry for mercy. To believe that God doesn't hear sinners that cries for mercy, you take away all hope from the gospel. Scott Richardson used to say all the time, he said, you stand on the ground that God put you, and God will save you. He puts you on the ground of a sinner, then He'll meet you on the ground of a sinner. You stand on the ground of a Pharisee, and He'll meet you as a Pharisee. You stand on the ground of a wicked man, a lying man, a deceitful man, a dishonest man, and He'll meet you there. You, whatever ground you stand before God on, that's the ground He'll meet you. He met Pharaoh on the ground that he stood on. Pharaoh said, who is God? God said, I'm going to show you who I am. And he said, that's the only reason I raised you up, to show you that I've got the power. Oh my. And I tell you what, enough. If he didn't hear sinners pray, what about David? He took another man's wife. Took another man's wife away from him. From her husband. Then he conspired to have her husband killed. Now you reckon God heard him pray? All of Psalm 51 is him praying, God forgive me. Have mercy on me. I'm sorry. Have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness. What about Manasseh? I don't know if y'all know who Manasseh is or not. You read about him over in Jeremiah. He was the awfulest, he was the most wicked king in all of Israel. Ahab, well, he was wicked, but Ahab was the worst. Ahab even took his children and offered them on altars and offered them as sacrifices on altars, his own children, to strange gods. He would build a big fire and he'd call on strange gods and offer his own children on the altar and sacrifice his own children. But God done a work in that man's heart, and he began to call on God and ask God for mercy and ask God to forgive him. Ask God to forgive him. And what about that dying thief? He lived his whole life without God. He lived his whole life without Christ. Never thought about Christ. Never thought about God. Never thought about his sin. But all he said is, Lord, remember me. That's all he said, remember me. And what about that publican? He was praying. He was praying. He was a praying man. Didn't have much to say. All he said was, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that man went down to his house justified more than others. What about the prodigal? Prodigal was a sinner. He is way off in a far country. Way off in a far country. Wasting everything he had, just like me and you. I wasted my life. Wasted my money. Wasted my body. Wasted my mind. And that prodigal, he said, I'm not even fit to come to... If I've come home, all I want to do is just be a servant. I'll go barefooted. I'll do whatever. And his father said, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Huh? Oh, my. God said, let the wicked forsake his thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. And he'll have mercy upon him. Have mercy upon him. But it's also true. It's also true. That God does hear sinners' prayer. But let me tell you this. It's true that he does not hear sinners' prayer. Huh? He don't hear sinners pray as he hears his own people pray. He does not hear his sinners pray as he does his own people in prayer. Oh no, he don't do that. Our Lord Jesus Christ hears the cries of his people when he won't hear nobody else. And he hears sinners. He hears no sinners. Now listen to me. This is true. He hears no sinners. I'm talking about he hears not sinners. He hears no sinners. God hears no sinners apart from the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will listen to nobody. Nobody whatsoever. He will not hear sinners apart from the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the truth. Now look over with me over in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Look here in Ephesians 2, verse 17 and 18. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, Christ came and brought peace, preached peace, and brought peace nigh to us. And it's through Him, only by Him, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, male or free, male or female, bond or free. I'll tell you something else where it says He will not hear a sinner pray. He will not hear a sinner pray. He will not hear a wicked, formal, heartless prayer. He will not do it. If a man prays and it's a formal prayer, you know, there's churches that got prayer books. They got prayer books. And they have prayer books and they pray through them prayer books. They have a prayer for this day and a prayer for that day and they get up and read them. And I mean in the Senate and all them places where they have a fella, the chaplain gets up and reads. He reads his prayers. In the Church of England, one reason why they ejected all those preachers and threw them out of the Church of England and took away their living and things from them. And so many churches rose up and so many preachers suffered greatly was because they refused to do the prayer book. He said prayer does not come out of a book. Prayer does not come out of a formal thing. And a formal man, a hard-hearted, wicked man, God said, I will not hear him pray. Only prayer most people know is, the Lord is our... Our Father which art in heaven. That's it. Then you know everybody quotes that. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you think about somebody taking a bunch of beads, and every time they pull a bead through there, said, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Or a bunch of beads and going through them. Do you think God would hear that? Bypassing Christ? Wicked formal prayer? And He will not hear the man who continually abides in unbelief and willfully continues in sin. He will not hear a man like that. Said, well, God said He will not hear sin. He won't hear one like that. He'll hear not the man who continually abides in unbelief and willfully continues in sin. Oh, that's why we say, Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. Oh, unbelief's an awful thing. You imagine how, you know, two things amazed our Lord and one of them was that men did not believe. He just was astonished that men would not believe. He said, it was amazing to him that men would not believe. And the other thing that astounded him was that I've never seen such a great faith in all of Israel. One time our Lord got angry and he said, for the hardness of men's heart because they would not believe. Unbelief, it's people say, well, that's an awful sin. There's not a greater sin, I don't think. Belief and self-righteousness. To not believe God Almighty. To not believe what God says. To God say something to a man in battle of His Word. And they could read the Bible. And them all unbelief. And they say, I'm not going to believe that. That's what these fellows said here. We're not going to believe that this man's of God. We're going to believe this man's a sinner. We're going to believe that this man could do nothing. We're going to believe that this man broke the Sabbath and he's a lawbreaker and there's no lawbreaker going to glory. And when he raised Lazarus from the dead, you think it's bad the way he treated over this blind man. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, they even tried to save this. They decided, let's kill Lazarus too. As we'll kill Christ and Lazarus too. We'll do away with both of them. Because they couldn't stand the fact that he raised somebody from the dead. Oh, willfully continues in sin. And I want you to look with me in Job chapter 27. Job 27. You know, he will not hear the hypocrite. He will not hear the hypocrite. And I know all of us got enough hypocrisy in us to, oh, damn a multitude. But he will not hear the hypocrite. Look what he says in verse 8. Job 27. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. And he said, the hypocrite don't have... Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? Oh, my. Goes on, will he call? Will he teach by the hand of God? Oh my, will he call upon God? Will he delight himself in God? God said, when the hypocrite's hopes perished. Proverbs says the hope of the hypocrite will perish. And you know our Lord in Matthew 6, that's what he said. Let's look at that, Matthew 6 for a moment, for a little while. Matthew chapter 6. Talking about the hypocrite. You know, one thing that troubles me, and you know, that people, you know, they call everybody in the church hypocrites. I understand that. But that's one thing a person does not want to be. He does not want to be a play actor. You know, that's what hypocrite means, play acting. It means putting on a play. It means to pretend to be something you're not. I'm going to act like I'm not who I am. I'm going to pretend to be this person. I'm going to give this view of people of myself, and when I'm really somebody else and I'm somewhere else, that's what a hypocrite is. He pretends to be a believer. He pretends to have a hope. He pretends. He puts on an act. And I tell you, that's something that God makes us honest. I tell you that. God makes us honest. And He makes us honest before Himself. And if you're honest, God makes you honest before Himself. And when He makes you honest with Himself, then you start being honest with yourself. You'll absolutely be honest with yourself, and you'll admit what you are, when you are, and everything that you are. You won't be play acting. Oh no, you won't have this sham religion. Won't be no sham religion. And look what our Lord said here in Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not your alms or your righteousness, what it says in the margin, before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, God ain't going to give you nothing of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, don't sound the trumpet before you. Listen to this now. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Oh my. That they may have glory of men. Oh my. Boy, that fella, if anybody goes to heaven, he's going to go. If anybody loves the Lord, he does. If anybody lives a good life, he does. Oh, I sure would like to be like him. That's what we're talking about. And I said unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, when you do your rights, you do what you do, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Your alms be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret rewardeth you openly. And when you pray, you don't pray like the hypocrites do. Don't do that. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, standing up and praying, and or in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So he said, he talks about hypocrites do this. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. And I'll tell you something else in Mark 11. Oh, we really need to see this. He will not hear the unforgiving person. Look in Mark 11. You know, when it says He will not hear sinners' prayers. Now, if He didn't hear sinners' prayer here, He wouldn't hear us. That's for sure. That's what I would say. But there is a sense when it's true that He will not hear a sinner pray. But in Mark 11, in verse 25, look what it says. He will not hear the unforgiving. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any person, any, don't say just one or two people. If you have aught against any, forgive, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Oh, to have an unforgiving spirit. You hear people say all the time, that's unforgivable. That's just absolutely unforgivable. If there was anything that anybody done that was unforgivable, God would have quit forgiving me years and years and years ago. Never would have forgiven me. But I tell you what, if a man can hold a grudge, if people can hold grudges, and not be able to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. God says, well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. That's one of the first things God teaches us. In fact, He says charity covers a multitude of sins. We can see a brother sin, be ugly, act a certain way. But you know what charity does? It don't go and get mad at them and aggravate about them and talk, gossip about them and tell on them and all of that. What they do is that love covers a multitude of sins. Christ is responsible for His sheep, and He'll take care of His sheep. I believe that with all my heart. Huh? Well, he won't hear the unforgiving. And here, listen to this now. He will not hear those who refuse to hear Him or hear His words or pay any attention to His ordinances. Hey boy, He will not. If you won't heed His word, refuse to hear His words, and don't pay any attention to what He says, you know, baptism is for believers. Well, I don't believe baptism is necessary. If you have the ability to be baptized and you want to confess your faith in Christ, you say, I'm not going to do it. I got to put a big question mark. And then the Lord's Supper. I don't feel I'm worthy to take the Lord's Supper. Of course you're not worthy. We have nothing, worthiness has nothing to do with it. Baptism's our identity with Christ, and the Lord's Supper is His remembering Him. Remembering Him. And oh my, that's why it says, you know, when they heard the gospel, in Acts chapter 2, the scripture says they were pricked in their hearts. And says, sirs, what must we do? What must we do? And I tell you, we're talking about God hearing not prayers. God hearing not, Christ hearing not prayers. He will not hear those who harden their hearts. Harden their hearts. Especially against the Word. All men harden their hearts against the Word. That's one of the most dangerous things that could ever possibly happen to a person. To harden their heart against God's Word. Well, I know that's true, but... Or to harden their hearts against the Spirit of God. You know, you hear preaching and the preaching people, you say all the time, well, he got all over my toes. Listen, the gospel don't get on your toes. It's for your heart. It's for your heart. And the Holy Spirit comes and He takes the things. And then when the Spirit deals with some people, they'll say, oh no, I wish so-and-so had been here. No, no. And then there's the warnings. Harden your heart against the warnings of providence. Every time I go to a funeral, God Himself is speaking to everybody there, especially the family. This is coming to you. God speaks in providence. And you think, well, this ain't going to happen to me. Yes, you're going to be laying there one of these days. And God speaks in providence. Every time somebody in your family gets in a car wreck, God's speaking in providence. Every time you get on your sick bed and you're laying there with some sickness and you're burning up or you're freezing to death or you're coughing yourself to death or the doctor says you got cancer, that's God in providence speaking to everybody. And people harden their heart against that providence. They say, well, and then, oh my. And then to disregard and harden your heart against the pleas of the preacher. Oh my. How many times have I pleaded and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded with people? I said, if I could dump it in their heads, I would. But people can't hear the pleas of the preacher if they don't come. Listen, talking about the warnings of providence, I'm gonna confess something to y'all. I'm gonna just confess. And I've said this before, there's people that I've preached to for a long time that if the Lord was to take them, I would be between a rock and a hard place as to what I could say about them. Did they love the gospel? Was they faithful to the gospel? Was they faithful to Christ? Was they faithful to meet with His people? Did they want to be with the sheep? Did they want to come and get fed? Or could they take it or leave it? I have to have 2 or 3 meals a day. And everybody does. But some way, somehow, people can get by with 1 meal a week. And I tell you, that scares me. And I'm going to confess to you that if somebody in that situation was to have to leave this world, what in the world could you say? Ain't that scary? And then there's your own conscience. Your own conscience will trouble you. Your own conscience will say, boy, that's not, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't act that way. And you go against your own conscience. And oh my, I got to hurry. He will not hear those who refuse to be saved by grace. You know, if you refuse to be saved by grace, He won't hear you pray. Huh? If you trust in your own prayers, trust in your own merit, and have your own righteousness, God won't hear you pray. No, He won't. He just won't do it. You refuse to be saved by grace. If you're like the Pharisee, trusted in themselves, trust in your prayers. Oh, I tell you what, I've heard people say, I know that my children's going to be saved. I sent up too many prayers for them. And He will not, and this is, He will not hear those sinners who die impenitent. If you die without God, you die without Christ, you're going to live without God and without Christ in eternity. As a tree falls, so shall it lay. Look what our Master said in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Now this is one of them things that we know this as well as anybody does. Hardly anybody perishes. Everybody gets to go to glory. I get to see them again. But look what our Master said here in Matthew 7:21. As a tree falls, He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Oh, a lot of people say Lord. Oh, Lord. Can't be saved without Christ being Lord. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's that will? That he that seeth the Son believes on Him. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many, many wonderful works? And then he'll say, I profess unto them, I never knew you. You know what you really were? You worked iniquity. You were lawless. It's like the foolish virgins. 10 of them was wise. There's 10 virgins. 5 of them was wise. 5 of them was foolish. The foolish got up. And the wise had done went out. And they began to bang on the door. Lord, Lord, open unto us. Open unto us. Open unto us. And He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And I'm going to give you this in closing. Some things are clear as a bell. He can't hear those who never call on Him. If you never call on Him, He can't hear you. Huh? If you don't call on Him, He'll never hear you. And He's never yet given any of us any refusal. Those who's called on Him and looked to Him. And no one has ever died and perished at the door of mercy who came to that door. Nobody. And the last thing is this. He allows us to call on Him now. Allows us to pray now. So let's pray while God hears us. Because if He hears not sinners, He wouldn't hear anybody. Well, our great and glorious God in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that precious name, that blessed name, that glorious name, that name that's above every name. Lord, we know that you do hear sinners pray. And we come weak, always in need, always in need. Need of mercy and grace, forgiveness of our pride, of our thoughts, of our self-righteousness, of our hypocrisies, of our coldness and lack of love and interest and lack of heart. But Lord, we thank you. Oh, how we bless you. There's forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. God bless these dear saints as they go their way. Lord, keep them, preserve them, and teach us and give us a love. Oh, God, increase our love in our hearts for our Lord Jesus Christ. Increase the love in our hearts for one another. Increase our love for the grace of God. Increase our love of the blood and righteousness of our Lord. In our desperate need of Him, we bless you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Well, see you Wednesday night, God willing.